A service for the third Sunday of Easter, April 19th, 2026. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Gospel reading is from Luke 24. That very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. When they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They went to the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." And he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken! Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening, and the day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" And they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is our text. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. A sermon entitled, Walking with the Eyes of Faith. There's a curious verse in 2 Corinthians 5:7 wherein Paul states how we are to walk by faith, not by sight. This is to admit that our human perceptions are limited and that our present circumstances are temporary. It proposes instead that we trust in the Lord, going forward in his ways, even when we cannot comprehend all that is happening. Today's gospel introduces us to a couple who were walking without perceiving. We are told the name of one of them, Cleopas. The others we do not know. There's no reason why she couldn't have been Mrs. Cleopas. It was Easter Sunday, and they were on their way from Jerusalem, a 7-mile trek, to a town called Emmaus. As they went, the two of them were talking. And wow, did they have a lot to talk about. It says they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. Yes, these two, who must have been part of an outer circle of disciples, had just experienced a roller coaster of events and emotions. Jesus had entered Jerusalem, where he taught many things concerning God's kingdom, He was then betrayed, arrested, and crucified. His body was enshrouded and secured in a tomb. What was more was that reports had reached them concerning how, that very morning, the tomb was discovered empty. Yes, they had a great deal to talk about with one another. Have you ever been out walking with someone and then hear the sound of someone walking up behind you? Well, that's what was happening with them. However, instead of this person passing them and walking on ahead, he caught up to them and slowed to match their pace. Realizing that he had interrupted their deep conversation, this stranger sought to be part of it. Therefore he asked them, "What is this conversation that you are holding with each other as you walk?" Now at this point in the story, we know something that these two did not. We know who this stranger is. We are told that it was the resurrected Jesus himself who drew near and went with them. And then we learn that the reason they did not know who he was is that their eyes were kept from recognizing him. They couldn't perceive that the one with them was there to restore all their hopes. That is why they were feeling hopeless. We are told how they then stood still, looking sad. Their first thought was, how could this person not realize what they were talking about? After all, Jesus was the talk of the town. Cleopas then asks him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" How could he be so clueless? Cleopas was right when he assumed that this man amongst them knew all too well what had happened. Nevertheless, Jesus kept up the pretense, asking them, "What things?" Possibly then realizing how his response was rude, Cleopas fills in the stranger on all that had happened. He says, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see." Apparently, these two left on their journey prior to the women reporting that they saw him. But to their point, an empty tomb does not mean there was a resurrection. On the other hand, you can't have a resurrection without an empty tomb. They likely witnessed many deaths in their days. The dead remain dead. Their own eyes confirmed it. With the death of Jesus, reason and logic could only leave them sad and hopeless. The one on whom they had hoped to redeem them was dead, and his body had been snatched from its resting place. They knew what they saw. Or did they? You see, their problem was that they were walking by sight and not by faith. And who among us can blame them? We have eyes. We can see for ourselves. Jesus died when he was buried, and that's the end. Right? Well, not so fast. The stranger walking with these two disciples then said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." And then he explained, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Yes, it turned out that there was another way to look at what they saw, and it was not with their eyes. Instead, the way to perceive reality was with the eyes of faith. These eyes focus on what the scriptures teach, and at that time, these were the words of Moses and the prophets. They spoke of how the offspring of the woman would crush Satan and sin by being pierced, striped, and crucified. Yes, on the cross, redeeming blood would be shed for Israel and for all, for this man was at the same time the Father's Son. Jesus succeeded in his mission to redeem, as evidenced by how, on the third day, that particular day for these Emmaus disciples, he rose again from the dead. He was soon to ascend and enter his glory. These disciples were not seeing it. Friends, who can blame them? After all, don't we sometimes find it hard to perceive? It seems more like wishful thinking than it does reality. After all, we don't want to be fooled. But still, when we hear of Jesus and what he has done for us by his life, death, and resurrection, something is stirred within us. It is as though an alternative sense located in our hearts is activated. There's something about this message of Jesus that arouses an inner sensation. This we see was taking place with these two disciples who, unbeknownst to them, were encountering Jesus. When they drew near to the village to which they were going, Jesus acted as if he were going farther. There was something very familiar about this stranger from whom they honestly did not want to depart. Therefore, they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, for it is towards evening. The day is now far spent." So he went in to stay with them. And though they had only just met him, they couldn't let him go. They were soon to realize the reason why they felt as they did. It says that when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. There was something about this sacramental meal which he was hosting that allowed their eyesight to align with their faith. He had been with them all this time. No wonder they had urged him to abide with them. Now these two could truly see. They even remarked to one another, asking, "Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?" Eyesight is one thing, faith is another. They were closer to the truth by listening to their hearts than they were by seeing with their eyes. And my friends, so are we. Though the rational side of us would only go with what our five senses perceive to be real, we do much better to listen to our hearts. And this is certainly the case as we listen to Jesus in the scriptures. You see, that's when the Spirit of Pentecost will cut into our hearts and set them on fire. Faith sparked inside of us will affirm that these things are true. Jesus is our Redeemer who lives and in whom we trust for forgiveness, life, and for salvation. But don't worry, for it's not totally blind trust that we are to have. Evidence actually abounds. You see, after Jesus vanished, the two disciples rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together. Those gathered couldn't wait to tell the two that the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. And then it was their turn to tell them how they saw him too, and what had happened on the road, and how he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. Yes, not only was there an empty tomb, but there were many eyewitnesses to the resurrection. Peter, Cleopas, and the unnamed one, just to mention three. The testimonies of just these three are sufficient for us to believe. However, there were up to 500 who saw Jesus alive again after his resurrection and before his ascension. A lot more evidence than even testimony abounds, including the burial shroud. But still, when it comes right down to it, it is a matter of faith. As the scriptures are read and meditated upon, allow the Spirit to burn in your heart. That's faith. And then when you come forward for the Holy Supper, allow Jesus to make himself known to you in the breaking of bread. And then walk. Go through life, telling strangers along your path of Jesus. In fact, serve strangers as though they are Jesus himself. Don't walk by sight, rather walk by faith. Or we might say, walk by the eyes of faith in Jesus, your Redeemer, crucified and resurrected. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.